All I have to do is get your child in a Bible study, and you know, youth group or mission trip, in a little circle. How do you feel? What do you think? And deliver them from the system of righteousness. See? And they'll come home, by the way. Once they learn in a group, this is what's rational. It's rational, because rational is, it all makes sense, right? Eve was rational. And if Eve is looking at the tree and says, you know, God's irrational. There's nothing wrong with that tree. So you know what that made God? Irrelevant. Remember Pandora's box? Your child comes home, you know how they're going to treat you? Irrelevant. You know how the government's going to treat you? Irrelevant. But God doesn't. But Satan does. Irrelevant. Because the object, remember, the object in itself has no value, only the pleasure you produce. And so if you're on a plug, we'll just pull the plug. It should make you feel real comfortable where we're going. That's why trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, because your understanding will take you right here. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That'll really get you in trouble with this. In all my ways, wait a minute, I want a good grade. Forget it. And let Him be the one who directs your steps. It is not in man to direct his steps. You know what's in us? Grabbing crayons and writing on walls. That's what's in us. That's all we got. It's not in man to direct his paths. So in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Let Him be the one who directs your paths. See? So a lot of conservative groups out there all over, you know, they want to deal with it politically. Libertarians, I've actually had libertarians come to meetings, interrupt until just harangue the audience because I'm quoting scripture. I was in Huntsville. I eventually told this guy, I said, you know what, you make a perfect Marx. By the way, libertarianism comes from Marxism. Because they believe in the individual without society. They just believe in the individual, but they're still social, you know. No God. We don't know God. And I told him, you're a perfect Marx, because Marx said you must treat every truth and ideal as an opinion. So you come in, and this is how I'll get you. You come in and quote scripture, and I say, well, that's just your opinion. And how I'll get you in the church, a little history here of the scriptures. The law and the prophets, when they had a copy Moses' writings, they had to figure out, how do we make sure that 1,000 years from now we still have the same document? Because we're going to have to copy it over and over as this stuff wears out. You know, as you read your favorite book, you know, pages fall apart. Well, they looked at words. Now, what's the problem with copying word? See, you copy word, you copy it here, but what happens down the road with words? Doesn't language change? Now you got a problem. So, first digital. They come down 12 lines, go in 7 characters, and write the character. Now, do many checks on that, and then you'd make a copy, and if it didn't pass the test, we destroyed it, and it'd start over until you pass the test. And then when we got done, you know what we did to the original? Because pages might be, you know, letters might be falling apart, we destroy it. Boy, it put a lot of pressure on you, wouldn't it? But they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, which dated back 1,000 years, and there were very few changes between what was current and what was back then. Wonderful system. Credible system. The early church did the same thing. Your fellowship might have Matthew, mine have Mark. Same method up here. That we'd make 2 copies, one for us. We'd make 2 copies, one for us and one for you. And eventually became called codexes. The Bible came together because of that method. But the key was this method. A man by the name of Origen, 240 AD, who is dialectic. The key to dialectic is dialogue, okay? Got to have dialogue. Because then you need me, see? I'm the expert. Whoever's more educated is the person who you will turn to for explanation of whatever's going on. You need a facilitator. And so what he does is he takes the laws and prophets, he takes Moses' writings, and then he puts a Gnostic story here, and then he filters it and creates his Gnostic Bible, and then he has 3 examples. Very complex. He has 6 scribes writing for him, selling this stuff to the church. Of course, it's going to impress people. Alexandrian area, you know, northern Africa, very philosophical region. And then Eusebius puts it together in one, and then Jerome comes along and he translates it to the Latin, and it becomes the Latin Bible. But what he does is Origen makes 6,000 changes in the scriptures. Little ones, like the Lord's Prayer, he leaves out, "To thine be the kingdom, power, and glory forever." Because it's God's kingdom, well, I don't have any input, right? I just submit. It's his kingdom, his power, and his glory. That means I just got to die and serve him. So he doesn't need my input other than just my will to obey him. Well, so what you end up here is all renditions. Everybody can write whatever they want to as far as their opinion. So there's no uniformity. In fact, a lot of documents, major war. Eventually the Gnostics, this is very Gnostic in this structure, you come up with the Alexandrian text, God begets God, which is, we're God. Well, when the Catholic Church comes across these guys here, they kill them and burn their libraries. They come up to Ireland, Scotland, think they're going to find sheep herders. They find universities. No, Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, languages of Europe. When they get done, there are sheep herders. See, Scotland, or King James coming out, he knows a little history. He knows the importance of what this was different than this. This was opinions. This is the Word of God. So the Eastern Church ends up here. Now, around 1440, doesn't mean you don't get heresy out of this, too. You can take any document and change it, whether which direction you want to go, reinterpret it. But 1440, the Constantinople was overthrown by the Ottoman Empire. These manuscripts are smuggled into Europe. Erasmus, an intellectual Catholic, gets a hold of them, and he compiles what eventually, 60 years later, is called the Textus Receptus. He doesn't call it right then. But you ever read Strong's Concordance? Use Strong's Concordance? That's the Greek of the Textus Receptus. That is not the same Greek as over here. Two different Greek sources. 6,000 changes over here. Over here, every word is definable in context. You can act propitiation. You don't need me. You don't need anybody. You just go to the Word of God and study it, and you can find the definition of the term in the context of the reading. So, but over here, you need a pope. Now we got a dialogue. Over here, you don't. Just preach and teach. So what Erasmus says, this is good stuff here when he reads it. No confusion. 6,000 documents all over. Date from 800, they thought back then. 800 to 1400. And no major doctrinal conflict over here. Big conflict here. So Luther translates, and then Tyndale, he translates the first English from the Greek. 80% of King James is Tyndale. Now it's singing in here, that's Tyndale. Shakespeare was a boy. And then 90% of Geneva is Tyndale. So the guy did a pretty good job. Geneva and the King James. Now Tyndale, I use King James, but I'm not King James only. I get a lot of people mad at me because I said that. Because the translations have a problem, but not the Greek. I'm Textus Receptus only. Because there's no confusion here. Now, the confusion comes about how I might translate from the Greek. For instance, Tyndale would not change any word in the Greek to an English if there was not an English equivalent. He left a Greek. How can you change God's will? If we don't have an English word, leave it. Study it. The word ecclesia, what's that? The called out ones. He said, call it assembly. It was the assembly of Israel. The congregation of Israel. It was never called the state of Israel. Well, where's that come in? Well, Luther used the word kirk. Geneva, Calvin, church. King James, church. Do you know church is a pagan word? Comes out of the occult. It's under the state. Why would King James use the word church? Under the state. Why would Geneva use? Why would Calvin? Under the state. Why would Luther? Well, the prince, the state, was protecting them. But Tyndale said, no, it's the bride of Christ. If the church and the state are holding hands, that's not the bride of Christ, because when Christ returns, he's coming for a bride who's not holding hands with anything in this world. So the proper is ecclesia. But I use church, you know, because, you know, I put it in quotes. It's a different thing. It's not, we're the true fellowship of the saints is under Christ. He is the author. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Well, so what happened was 1881, now you have like the Norwegian Bible, you have a lot of Spanish, different Bibles, same source, different translations, different languages. 1881, two men, Westcott and Hort, they are dialectic in their structure. They love the dialogue. They gained control of a committee. Remember the Constitution? They were supposed to simply review the Articles of Confederation? Well, same thing happened here. They found a few articles, a few manuscripts. They were going to see how it fit with the Textus Receptus. But these guys, Westcott and Hort, got hold of the committee, and they said, we've got three sources, Sinaiticus Alpha, Vaticanus Bay, and Codex X, and these are 300 A.D. Yours are 800 to 1400, closer to the life of Christ. Forget the fact of the source. Well, now we know some of these manuscripts date in the 90s, but they didn't have carbon dating back then. And so they sold this as the Greek source. All this confusion then became, when I studied in seminary, the Metzger's Greek, there's the Ahlen Greek and the Nestle Greek. Anytime there's a conflict between these sources, this is a D and this is an A. This is credible, this is not. You will not find in any contemporary translation, to thine be the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. 6,000 changes from here, no confusion, to where now you have confusion in the church, which engenders what? Dialogue. That's the only intent. So Rick Warren, to continue this, he writes Purpose-Driven Life. In there you have a Bible study. You open up the message, you know, as above, so below is read. Your spirit picks this. Something's wrong here. Now, your head doesn't pick it up because the Word of God is spiritual. It speaks to your soul. And you open up Scripture and say, you know, it says, to thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But Rick Warren has a doctorate from Fuller Theological Seminary. He's certainly trained in Greek. You're not. So it gives you the right to challenge this expert who says, who uses as above, so below. And so I will then, if I'm facilitating, because you're getting a little hot, you know, you're starting to cause division. We don't like people, even your friend will stand up and make a statement and it's controversial and you're wanting him to sit down because we don't like that. We see, you know, we don't want collateral damage. He's going to get hit and I'm going to get part of it. So tone it down, okay? Let's put aside our differences right now, okay? Can we do that? You know what I just got you to do? Put aside the Word of God, for as above, so below, the most sacred verse in Satan's Bible. Who would do that? Who would do that? Jesus talked to him. Your father, the devil, he was a liar from the beginning. That's who would do that. Because God said we would never be without His Word. We would have His Word. And we do. You go to seminary today and you open up King James, you'll be the butt of everybody's jokes. Because all of the Greek is here. Ecumenical. This is the Protestant church has become Catholic. Confusion. How do you feel? What do you think here? What do you know here? Look, it used to be you could not be a minister and be divorced. If you were divorced, you could. Well, very clear over here. Over here, you can be a woman. You can be a homosexual. You can be a lesbian over here. See the source? Change the language. You change the culture. So this is why I encourage you. Trust in the Lord. Study His Word. See, study His Word to show yourself approved as unto God. Make sure, or do you have His Word? See, I've been kicked off radio shows. I didn't mind. The guy was a clown anyway. You know, in Seattle. Why? Because they love this. They love heresy. They love change. They love the approval of men. They love the dopamine. They don't love the Lord. God says, get over the dopamine. He'll give it to us. He's not against. You notice how many trees did God say you could eat of in the garden? How many trees were there that had dopamine? There's just one, so stay away from it. Just one. You want to drive your children to wrath? Just make sure they can't touch anything. They can't have any fun. That's not what God says. He's not against pleasure. It's a lover of pleasure more than the lover of God. So we have a Heavenly Father that loves us. Now, God's not hung up on this nation. Our Father's not hung up on this nation. He's hung up on you. In fact, He's looking at your heart to determine what to do with this nation. Is it worth bothering with? Is it worth saving? You know, people ask me, well, where are we as a nation? I'd say, well, there's water on the deck of the ship. Unless you're on a submarine, that's bad news. But I see God purifying His bride. Who's with me? Are you willing to lose it all for me? And that's the heart that blessed this nation to begin with. There was a lot of conviction. A lot of preaching in hellfire and damnation. Oh, well, that's negative. Your God is so hateful. The only reason for hell is God's holy. You wouldn't have to worry about hell if God wasn't holy. If we were God, hell's no problem. It wouldn't exist. Other than those who were serving a God who talked about hell. Was there a famous song that says, a moment in heaven, an hour in heaven will be an hour in hell? So, it's really turned it all around. See, and I have this statement at the end of this dialectic road. There's a sign that says, welcome to hell. Aren't you glad you didn't take the other path? Look at what all you would have missed out on. See, Paul actually says, if there is no resurrection, we are all men most miserable. The key was the resurrection, because that was all about reconciling us to the Father. Like I said before, this is all about redeeming us from the Father in our dialogue and reconciling us to the world in our dialogue. What we all have in common, how we feel and what we think. So I just encourage you, go out and share. Preach. Preach and teach. Preach and teach. That's what God's called. Know His Word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, so I might not sin against thee. And then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And a minister friend of mine I mentioned earlier has 11 degrees from Yale. Then he came to the Lord. Those are all done. But he says, it's no longer a group. You can't preach to groups anymore because everybody's concerned about what everybody else is thinking and feeling. It's one-on-one. It's one-on-one. Some will hear. Most won't, but some will hear. Because we're really, really over here, right for judgment. But there are a few here, adulterers. They know what they're doing is wrong, but they still have a guilty conscience. They have a guilty conscience. You can minister to them. If they're over here seared, then no such thing, by the way, as a Christian psychologist. No such thing. It's impossible. It's what harmony is Christ with Belial, the world. So I hope I made sense here. Here's some quotes, you can read through. I have a website, authorityresearch.com. I write sometimes 200-page articles. They say that's not an article, that's a book. But just lots of quotes. Lots of quotes. So I have liberals get on blogs and they hate me. And some will say, well, he's imbecile and he doesn't know what he's talking about. And then the other liberal will say, well, you didn't read his material. I hate him, but he knows his stuff, So the Lord has a way sometimes just taking it. I didn't like reading. He just says, okay, go to the source. Go to the source. And I shared the other day what James shared on Revelation. And people are following people, men. And they're not going to the source. They're not checking out what the man's saying. Don't even trust me. Take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Weigh what anybody is saying. Where's your source? God, you know how we're equal with God? God made us in His image to evaluate. See, we are to evaluate like Adam and Eve were supposed to evaluate from God's Word. What'd they do? They evaluated God's Word from their feelings and their thoughts. How are we going to use that which God has given us to take captive, again, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Or just go with the flow. Get along to get along. But if the heart's not changed, tonight's just been a lot of rhetoric, a lot of noise. Because God's all about changing our heart. Because in the end, that's really all that matters. Is having the right heart before Him. And only He can change it. No man can do it. Don't let any church or any institution or any man come between you and God. No one here does God ever say you to put any institution between you and God. All I can do is come along and encourage you. Any pastor, elder, evangelist, whoever it is, whatever name you want to call them, they can only come alongside and encourage you or reprove and correct and rebuke you. Because Jesus said, call no man father on earth. And so be an encouragement to others. It's grievous. I mean, I live a life of grief. Because you want to say, I love this nation. I mean, I study American history. I love this nation. But wow, what a mess. You know, and I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just saying, you know, what I see right now is not good news. We have a nation that's on a drug. It's over here. Following the whore, the harlot, the whore. And by the way, the beast can't take control without the harlot. But once the beast is in control, he'll destroy the harlot. No mercy. No mercy. Brutal. Brutal. I studied European history. Whew. Asian history. Brutal. We ain't seen nothing yet. This is really brutal. And it already is. It already is. So encourage one another. Pray for one another. Pray for these people who despitefully use you. I meet too many bitter Christians. You can get bitter. You can, you know, you know how you get depressed and bitter? It's God's not doing it your way. See? Ah, God, you're not doing it right. No, do it. Get in His kingdom. Get in His kingdom. And how are you in His kingdom? You're doing the Father's will. I call friends and I just say, what dad got you doing today? How would you like to be a dad and your children never call you, never talk to you? See, we have a father who wants us to talk to him. My teachers come up afterwards and say, what do I do? And I say, I can't tell you. All I can tell you this is ask dad at least 20 times tomorrow, what do you want me to do? That's what it's all about. Pretty simple, isn't it? Simplicity of the gospel. I just address politics, education, church, everything in life. It's right here. And the Marxists knew it. Bible says we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And unfortunately, we have become. But there's a remnant. You women who sew, you know what a remnant is? A piece of cloth doesn't fit anywhere. I had a meeting up in Portland the day before yesterday or 3 days ago, and I just had to remind them we're all aliens. It's just hard to get used to that, you know. We've always been part of the crowd, and all of a sudden you just find you're not welcome anymore. So be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. And grow in Him. Grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Grow in Him. Just no matter what's happening, stay in His Word, reading it. And get bored. Get bored. It's good. Good. You know, read until you're really bored. Get off the drug. So have a prayer meeting until, man, you can't. Your body's just wanting to squirm out of there. Good. You know, or Bible study. We used to have that, you know, put the kids next to mom and dad in church. I speak to a lot of homeschool kids, and man, they just sit there for 3 hours. I was in Illinois, and one child after this 3-hour presentation comes up, and first person up there and sticks their hand up and says, Mr. Gocher, that was a great presentation. 5 years old. And I listened to them, and they were all facts. They were talking. They weren't running around chasing on dopamine. All these kids are on these little games now. Look in their brain, you just see a spigot of dopamine. Because they've been trained up. They've been told, sit there, and got off the drug. Did their homework. See, what we've lost. And I watched that night as these kids, and I said, this is what. It's like God opened up a door and just showed me what we've lost. This is what we've lost. Three or four generations ago, we had a culture that if the economy failed, they would be patient, wouldn't panic, wouldn't tear up everything in sight. For survival. With standing bread lines with the food sitting right there, and they wouldn't be stealing it, waiting their turn. Whew. forget that. Because we've lost the conscience. So, well, anyways, it's food for thought. So, James?
Thank you, Dean. Well, folks, thank you.